keeping it short mainly because I really want you to get this. I don't want to just throw a shotgun blast at you. I want you to really focus on just one thing today. Who's the owner? Now, I want to talk to you about that because, and here's the reason why. This is the foundation of living a blessed life. We're going to talk about the very foundation of what that is. Please remember that. Don't ever confuse what I share with you today with materialism or hyper-prosperity, those kinds of things. That's not what I'm doing. It's not in my heart at all. My goal is to have us understand who the owner is. Amen. I want us to live a life where we can be a blessing. Amen. So important. And we have prophesied to you about the openings, the opportunities, the blessings that are headed your way for this next year. So it's really important that we look at the foundation of what can allow that to come into our lives. So we want to live a life where we can be a blessing, and to live a life that's blessed and a life that's even beyond blessed, if you can imagine that. There's a foundation, and that's what we'll talk about, and it's the foundation of ownership. Now, I know if I told you that I was going to preach on stewardship, you might have a tendency to kind of tune me out, and you might just say, oh, I know about stewardship, Pastor. I've heard messages on stewardship. I don't want to hear about giving money. So I won't do that till next week. But it's not just stewardship I want to talk to you about. It's the foundation of stewardship, and that's ownership. Because you'll never be a good steward with the things God has blessed you with if you don't understand who the actual owner is. Very important. So let's talk about a few things. Here's number one. It all belongs to God. Amen. All of it. Go ahead. Not just the tithe. It all belongs to God. If we look at Psalm 24:1, we see that it says, the earth is the Lord's. Please notice those words. The earth is the Lord's. He owns it. It's the Lord's. And in case you have any doubt, everything in it, everything in it, the world and all its people, now here's the ownership, belong to Him. Loving the Bible as we do, we look at Psalm 50 now, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine. He's saying, I own them. I own them all. It says, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And of course, he owns the hills too. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. So there's no mistaking what he's saying here. They're mine. They belong to me. They are my property. And I love this statement. This is one of my favorite statements in the whole Bible. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Amen. This is God speaking. Because you don't own the animals, I do. For the world, that's right. For the world is mine and all its fullness. Amen. Now, this is a revelation that we have to get. You have to get it. You can work for whatever you have. You can earn it. You can put your name on the deed. But if you're a believer, then you really do understand it's God's. And that's why when God tells you to give something, you don't grieve over it. It's not a problem. It doesn't bother you at all. The other day, I felt God saying to me, in fact, it was a strong feeling. God was saying, give that lady a $20 tip for your $15 haircut. And it was a impactful message. It's like he was really up close and being loud. And I said, no, that's okay, God. If that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll just do it. You don't have to yell. But when you understand it's all God's, then you understand the money and what it's really for. Now, I hadn't made any extra money that week. I had it because God gave it to me so I could be a blessing. Amen. When God puts that in your heart, everything I have is God's. That's why if God says give it away, you don't grieve about it. It's all God's. You don't get upset about it because it's not yours in the first place. Amen. This is something we've got to get deep down in your heart, because it's important to God. Did you know money is important to God? In the same way that people give and God blesses supernaturally, when you become a good steward, God blesses supernaturally. There's a supernatural, miraculous element from heaven on your finances when you're a good steward. It's not just that the numbers add up by doing a good budget. It's more. It's that God begins to bless you supernaturally. If you think, man, if I give this offering to the church, I know God's going to bless me. Yes. Why do we know that? Because God is the rewarder. God does reward us when we give with the right heart. Amen. Ken is a lot of fun because he's always making that point, and he goes, "Woo!" Yeah. Cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. But it's more than that to be a cheerful giver. It's to give without begrudging the fact that we're giving. It's to totally realize it's all God's.
It's a lifestyle.
Well, it needs to be. And I think we'll find out why here. When you say, I'm going to get my finances in kingdom order, his kingdom order, I'm telling you, God will bless you from places you didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. So number one, you need to know God owns it all.
Amen.
Now here's number two. The first belongs to God. The first belongs to God. Looking at Exodus chapter 13, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it's mine. And I want you to notice God is the one talking here. He's saying it. And by the way, this is the God who can't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and
forever.
He's the same. Both the man and the beast, it is mine. It belongs to me. Now, we know it all belongs. For some reason, though, he set aside the first also. Exodus 23:19. The first of your first fruits. And that's for those of you that are hard of hearing, not in the natural, but in the spiritual. The first of your first fruits. Now, I've heard people say, well, give your first fruits to God, but he never said that. He says, give the first. Everybody say first.
First.
First of your first fruits. In other words, give the tithe of your first fruits. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord. You know how I know the first fruits belong to God? It's because he didn't say you shall give them. If they belong to you, you could give them. What did he say? Bring them to the house of God. You can't give it because it's not yours, but you can bring to the house of the Lord. I know, it's a real joyful message. Got you thinking, though. Genesis 4. And in the process of time, those words are really important. In the process of time, it came to pass. So it just kind of happened over time that Cain brought an offering, an offering. It does not say the first of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. He did not bring first fruits. Abel, it says, also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected or received Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. So many people say, well, Pastor, tithing, that's under the law. That was under the law, and we're not under the law. And you know what? That's true. That's true. We're not under the law as believers. But if you think that means that you can go ahead and murder or commit adultery or steal or lie and it doesn't affect you, then you are greatly deceived. And if you think that it means that you can take what belongs to God and not be affected, you are greatly deceived. So many people just don't realize the timeline, and that's why they say that. So I'm going to show you, I made you a little timeline to give you an idea. Cain and Abel, it's approximately 4,000 years before Christ. And if you look down the line, you can look at Moses, where, whoops, help me, Lord. There we go. Moses is 4,000 here. 1500 BC is approximately when Moses brought the law. So 1500 BC, 4000 BC. But here's the bottom line of it. How far from Cain and Abel until the law came? How many years was that? I know, I'm not a math whiz either. So I'll just tell you. 2500 years. 2500 years approximately. So 2,500 years before the law was given, God accepted a firstborn offering, but did not accept another offering because it was not the first fruits. So the tithe belongs to God, and please don't get offended at me. If you struggle with tithing, or even if you have a different doctrine on this, don't get offended, because I just believe that the Bible says what it says about it. And God calls the person who does not return the tithe, well, he calls that person a thief. Both in Joshua 7 and Malachi 3, and you can look that up for yourself, but Joshua 7 uses the word stolen. They've stolen it. And Malachi 3, we'll look at, 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then he says something he doesn't say anywhere else in the Bible. Try me now in this. That means put him to the test. I don't know of any other place where it says, put me to the test on this one. This he does. This one thing. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So it all belongs to God. The first belongs to God. And now we're going to hit tithing. Here we go. Number three, the tithe belongs to God. Now, as you probably know, the word tithe is a Hebrew word which means the tenth. And when you see it in Scripture, it's the first tenth. Now you know that. So let's put it this way. When your sheep had a lamb back in those days, you were to give the first lamb to God, not the tenth lamb. And here's the reason why. Because it don't take no faith to give the tenth lamb. But it takes faith, real faith, to give the first one. When they went into Jericho, and when they went into the promised land for the first time, God said, bring. He didn't say give, because you can't give what doesn't belong to you. You can only bring it. Bring all the silver and gold from Jericho into the house of the Lord. Why did he say that, and why did he say all of it? It's real simple. See, Jericho was the first city. It's the principle of the first. The first city that they came to in the land they were promised. God said, you bring me the first and the rest will be blessed. Remember, there's a secondary story to that where they kept some treasure back instead of bringing it all into God's house. They kept some. Well, they lost their second battle because of that, which was the battle of Ai, which was a really small city. And they couldn't even defeat a small city because they had stolen. And again, those are the words God used in Joshua 7. He said, they have stolen from me. In other words, they took what belonged to me. So the tithe belongs to God. Let's look at Leviticus 27:30. And all the tithe of the land, I just want you to see that word, all, of the seed, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree. Now watch, I told you it belongs to God, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Now, isn't that amazing? It's holy to the Lord. I think sometimes we may get hung up on the 10% part. It's not so much that it's 10%. It's the first 10%. And I don't know why God chose 10%. Other than I think it's just easy for everybody to calculate, which is good. And it's the same. It's equal. Do you realize that? I mean, when you tithe, you give the same as a millionaire to God. See, the tithe on a $50,000 a year salary is exactly the same as the tithe on a $5 million a year salary. It's a tenth. And I think it's easy to remember. And I know I'm not that good at math, and maybe you aren't either, but it's like the lady told her husband when he was looking at the receipt after her shopping trip. She said, you know, I may not be able to add up all this as fast as you can, but I'll tell you what I do know. I know what 25% off means. Okay, what does it mean? She said, it means that's a good deal.
Save that much money.
Mm-hmm. And then she said, and if it's 50% off, it's free. And then she says, and if it's 75% off, we're making money now. So the reason I think God came up with the 10% is really just so all of us can understand how much that is and calculate it out. I'm really excited that we'll be starting our discipleship class again before too long, learning all about kingdom living, all about the stuff that Jesus wants us to learn as his disciples, his students, and just kind of doing the stuff. Kingdom living, learning how important it is to pray with power. It'll be a review for some of us, but we could use that.
Amen.
We'll learn how to renew the mind, to prophesy, and how best to heal the sick, deliverance, setting people free from bondage, worship. All this is very important for every Spirit-baptized believer. But just as important as learning about loving and being honorable and how to do things with power, just as important is tithing. You want to know why? Because I want you to be out from under the curse. I don't think there's anybody in here who would raise their hand. Yeah, I want to stay under the curse. Stay under that curse. I don't even know what it is. It sounds bad. But I believe this. So what I'm telling you, I believe. And I believe that book right there, the Bible, when it says you are under a curse because you have robbed me, you took what belonged to me, I believe that. I totally believe that. So for the first time, I'm explaining about tithing. I held off for a long time till we got to know each other a little bit. When we bring the tithe, it'll make a huge difference in your income because we notice it over time, usually. Sometimes it's immediate. I recently heard this really great story, and I'm tying Dottie's story into this about how she received unexpected money. But I read this story recently by a pastor who told about a young man who came to him. He was a new convert, and this guy asked, he liked the pastor, so he asked the pastor if he would personally disciple him. Well, the pastor said, yes, but the first thing you need to know about is tithing. So they began meeting together on Wednesdays to study the Word. And he was being discipled. And here's how the pastor puts it, and it's a true story. He says, so that Friday, this young man got paid. He's on commission, and he had a bad week, so his check was $640. So that weekend, I saw him at church, and he showed me his check. He said, look, I brought my tithe check, $64. And he said, and you know, this was a bad week for me, so it's really tough to do that this week. But he said, I believe what you told me. I believe the scriptures you showed me. So he put his $64 in the offering box on Sunday. And this is what the pastor continues to write. Monday he calls me, he said. And he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, when I got home, I got the mail out of the mailbox, and there was a letter from the city, from the water department. And I thought it was the bill. And he said, I opened it up, and it said, we've done an internal audit, and you've been paying too much. And he said, there was a check in there for $640. And the pastor ends the article with, 10 times the amount. You will never convince me in a million years that that's a coincidence. The exact same amount. And I've heard hundreds of testimonies like this over the year. The way that God blesses us financially when we give. So I want to encourage you, you know, step out in faith. Put God first in your finances this year. Put him to the test. See if he won't pour out blessings upon you. See if you don't get out from underneath that curse. Now, it all belongs to God. The first belongs to God. And the tithe belongs to God. It's the first 10%. Amen. Who do we tithe to? You tithe to the storehouse, your local church. Amen. It's the place where you're fed. And I'm not saying this just so our local churches can grow and reach more people. I mean, yeah, that is great. But I'm saying it so that you can walk in the order that God has in his word, and that is that we put God first in every area of our life, including our finances, and then watch what God does. God wants us to live completely blessed, in order to be a blessing to others. Amen. That's why. So I appreciate you so much. I love you guys so much. And I love that you love hearing God's word and putting it into practice in your life.